I've been knowing everyone, I've been wondering around, I've been to see everything out of time. Then you appeared in front of me, ignited my pale heart. We've been looking for each other from now on. Save you.
You're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode where we talk about the news that seems important to us, which should be important to you because it's important to us. Then we dive into our community and ask some great questions from our community members over there on the TalkingSpirit.com website, on the forums, and then say goodbye to everybody. So how is the day?
Doing good. You good? Feeling better?
Eh.
Eh?
Eh.
Eh. It's all right. We'll get you through this.
Hopefully muscle through this.
I'll drive it.
There you go. Go ahead.
So, Funimation, they added Monogatari to the catalog.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's it?
I don't know. There's something important in there.
There's something important about that. So, yeah.
I can't read good from my angle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anything great outside of the news?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I may be getting another job.
Yeah?
Finally, I may finally get it. I'm hoping.
Punch, 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 punch.
I'm holding out hope. And then once it's mine, because it is my job.
Then you can no longer say, I don't have the money for that.
Doubt it. I'll still complain about money.
I'll still be saying that. Well, that's good. That's positivity. I got Hatsune Miku for the Switch this week. That's a new thing.
I tried it for a few minutes.
For a few minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. I still can't get over the X. The X throws me off so bad.
Eh, that wasn't too bad. I was more just frustrated I couldn't read anything.
I guess I've been playing imported games so long, it's just you kind of assume where things are at.
Yeah, that's the only reason I was able to get in to actually play, but yeah it was like, okay, I
mean, you have like
I want to change it
shirt.
To I want to change Miku to Rin, and it's not letting me. I think I found the spot to do that, but
so when you have the song selected or moused over or whatever, cursored over, selected on the screen, go back out
to the wardrobe. That's what I was saying.
You'll notice that the music in the background as you're looking at the wardrobe is of that song, and then you select it, and then there's one that says something and something, that's the Switch and apply, and then you come back out and go back to the song, and it's
I think I figured the spot, but when it comes time
to having like presets and wanting them all to be what I want, that's probably where it's gonna be complicated.
All right,
I know that if you push the button and it'll change it to like presets, and there's the one that's selected for that song, so it is doable. Just like I said, I think it's mostly because I'm used to the Miku games, plus just kind of knowing where they kind of put things.
Right,
the difficult thing was trying to figure out how to turn down the sound effect, because I like to have the sound effects really low propose the song so I can hear the song on the beat. Default is way too loud.
Well, that the other problem is I was keeping it kind of lower so that I didn't disturb everybody in the house, and I wasn't having that much
I couldn't find my wired ear pods. Like I used to have like six of them because of all the phones got the parents and everything, and they would never want them, and so I would take them from them, and so at some point I had like six like Apple ear pods that I could use, and now I'm like looking around, I can't find a single one of them so I can put the earphones in for that game. Ugh. I do agree with people that I think the visuals for the video in the background is very low res, which kind of sucks. But I think that was something they put into play so that the actual gameplay itself was just butter smooth.
Yeah.
Because the actual, you know, notes and everything are just kind of perfectly butter smooth. So, and then I got to think about there's a Hatsumiku Switch, like, controller thing, like, for the arcade.
Like, man, oh, is
I
there?
Want that. It's like $500. I was like, I want that so bad, but dang. It even has a touch thing, so you can slide the finger, and it lights up wherever you're touching at, so you can, like, follow your finger and stuff. It's, like, really cool. Hmm. And you can change the LEDs on that to be different colors, and it's like, man, it's like the perfect thing just for Hatsumiku, but it's an investment just to play Hatsumiku. I'd be a diehard fan, even though I'm a diehard fan, I'm a cheap diehard fan when it comes to something like that. It's like, yeah. The novelty's there, but near, I know.
You are now, but you would have probably jumped at it about a year or two ago.
Maybe when I was more of a gamer.
Yeah.
I think it's that fear of buying into something gaming-wise when I'm not really fully invested in it.
I did get a kick out of it. It's like, it's popping up. You should use the rocker thing. So I'm like, no, I'm not.
No. Not doing the motion thing. Not doing that. That's one thing. I mean, I'll try it at some point, but for now, it's like all I'm doing right now is just going through all the songs and finding the ones that I like and doing the minus sign so I favorite it, because I figured that out after trial and error. I knew there was a favorite way. I just had to figure out what button it was. So I'm doing all these weird things to what's on the menu, and finally a heart appears, and I'm like, got it. Okay, that's the button I pressed to favorite it so I could find it later.
I need to go back to it and goof off, because I always, whenever me and Andrew end up playing together, he's actually the better Miku player. Don't tell him that, though. It'll get to his head.
He tells me that every time we're playing. Like, you're so much better. And I was like, no, I'm not.
But no, I've always wanted to just go through the entire game and just work myself up from the bottom and actually see if I can get to a point where I'm halfway decent and able to help Andrew when he gets to the higher levels. But yeah,
it is again one of those things where it's an investment thing, because I remember when we had it on the PS3, the original Project Diva, it's like we played that thing to death, to the point where we had pretty much every song played, most of all the normals, and a lot of the hards we were pretty much clearing them all. But nowadays it's like I don't have that desire to go through them all again and do that again with each iteration. So now with everything since then, it's just I play it whenever I want to, and which sucks because then I'm really terrible at it, because the only reason we did that well back then was that we played it like every night and we were – it's a muscle memory thing. You have to get that point where you're that muscle memory to it, and then you're able to perfect them. And now I don't spend enough time on each song to sit there and muscle memory it until I max it out. So I guess it's – like, I want to invest the time, but I don't have the time to invest in it, nor do I really want to, because I've done it before.
Yeah.
But every time one comes out, I want to buy it, and I play it for a little bit, and then I kind of put it down, and I come back to play it again, and I'm terrible again. It sucks. Time. Time sucks.
It's a wonderful thing.
We figured out how to put time to still, so we can watch all the anime we want and play all the video games that we want.
When somebody figures that out, please let us know. That would be definitely a godsend.
Yeah. Just write it in the comments somewhere. Tweet us or something. That'd be great. If you have a link somewhere, an app or something that does it, it'd be cool.
The best app ever.
Best app ever. Damn it, somebody stopped time again. Okay, we're going, oh, damn it, somebody stopped the time again. Okay, now we're going, damn it, not again. Stop. Anyways,
we just begged people to send us some scam app.
Yeah, like this is the one.
This is the one star you asked for.
It's got one star on it, but I'm sure it really works. Look at the comments for it. This doesn't work. It'll work for me because the app said so. Yeah. Besides that, playing Hatsumiku, I also got the Final Fantasy VII and VIII cartridge. Nintendo Switch game with that. The demo for Final Fantasy VII came out. The remake. Finally. Yeah. I mean, you didn't get to play it, but you got to see it. Did you like it?
Yeah. It was very pretty.
Very, very pretty.
Very pretty.
Very, very pretty game. Gorgeous looking game. I'm not too sure yet about the combat. I mean, I will get probably get used to it because it's very Kingdom Hearts, very Crisis Core.
That was the only thing that I was a little bit leery of. It just doesn't seem. And it's funny because I think that we discussed this back when it was first announced, and we were like, I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing for it. It is nice because it's very, very much, it looked very involved. But at the same time, it doesn't feel so much Final Fantasy-ish. And the funny thing is, well, okay, how far back, I mean, was 10 the last time they actually did a quote-unquote turn-based? I mean,
an actual turn-based would probably be back to 5? Because 6 was the
Right. They did the active time battle, but I'm not talking about active time battle per se. I'm talking about the actual where they actually unlinked it completely. Because I want to say 12 had kind of a hybrid between the two, but it was still kind
There's
of...
There's not a single Final Fantasy doesn't have like a time system between each person's turn coming up.
Right.
It's just it was number 6 that made it to where... If you don't do something, the other dude's going to hit you again.
Right. And I know that because I keep turning that off because I don't mind them hitting me. But this one looked like it was literally almost not even RPG-ish per se. It felt like it was actually the only real difference is that it does have the menus when you ask for it. But I mean, because it even... Did 13 have that same battle style? Because I know that we haven't tried 15
yet. Was a paradigm system where it was like 12 where you had gambits.
Right.
But you had them set to different stances, and you would select those stances
and
each
they
turn.
Did it on, and they did everything on their own. The only thing...
Based off
except
what you,
for,
that stance
right.
was, yeah.
And kinda see,
like
and that
your,
was...
Your 10-2, I guess, because it had kind of a paradigm system to each of the dress spheres, right? That they can switch between.
Right. But that was still, it was still in it asking for your input every turn.
Right. And so was 13.
But, and then 15, we don't really know because we haven't tried that.
Because with 13, you were like going cure, attack or something like
right.
that. Right. And then it would do that sequence or whatever, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time.
There was things about 13 that I really do want to get back to that.
Really dark, really gorgeous. That's one of those ones I wouldn't mind having a HD collection of it. What, did they do that in HD collection of it? Well, I mean, it wouldn't be an HD collection,
I'm
but
sure
a collection
it's on,
of
I'm
it.
Sure it's on the way. I'm sure because they've done pretty much everything else so far. Except for my poor 8.
And apparently some whispers right now they want to do a remake of 5. And I'm like... 5?
Give me my 8 first.
6? No! Either 4 or 6. 6 was my favorite of all time. 4 was my second, very close second.
No.
And they're already talking about
you got
8.
Your 7. Give me my 8.
They're already talking about... Well, my 7? I mean, 7 was a pinnacle point of gaming history in general, but I don't think it's the best story ever. It had to have like a bunch of weird spin-offs and Crisis Core just to make it all kind of... get better. But it was still good. It's still good.
And yes, I do know that they did do some tweaking to 8 to when they updated it, but yeah, it's not an HD remake.
Yeah, the characters are
yeah,
a little better.
They did clean up a little bit.
They got more than 5 pixels to their faces. That all like weird, here's a dot, and then there's a dot over here that tells you that he has like a spiky hair. That's how you know it's the one dot's over to the side, so that's how you know it's spiky. Otherwise, it would just be like a weird triangle. Anyways.
Didn't even bother with the rest of the background or anything like that. But hey, they updated the little insignia on his chest to make it a little bit more... visible.
Yes, yeah, that's one of those things where I think with something like that, it's just bringing the artwork to a current time. It's not really trying to change it. And plus, they were talking about how they lost all its assets, so they don't really have it to up-res it, unfortunately. But like I said, they're talking that they want their Kohais to do an 8.
Yeah, in 10, 20 years.
Oh, you know it's going to take a long time. But I mean, the hope is that they'll just use the current engine and and just kind of adapted to it.
Yeah, and that was my argument a long time ago when we were talking about we were talking about Snake's Revenge or something like that, and I was like, you know, I would love to see them remake all those games up and just up into the newer engines. It doesn't
No, instead what they want to do is have the ending of 5 just show like little pictures of overhead NES game to show like the backstory and everything that nobody played. I got a kick out of that. They got this whole scenario where they're talking about those old times and just shows like little shots of like old NES game and the old screen with the comm.
It was there. Thing. Andrew showed it to me. It happened.
It was funny. It was funny. But yeah, it's a really good game though. I do enjoy it. I think once I start getting the bindings done where you can put like here to an actual like hold L button, hit circle, it'll work a lot better. But for right now, it's like, it felt a little clunky, but I think it's just one of those things where you'll get used to it. Because, of course, going to a boss fight after 5 random trash mobs is a little difficult to get your grips on the game to fight a pretty challenging boss right off the bat. So, yeah, it was good, though. I can't wait for the entire game to come out. Plus that, and then there's Resident Evil 3 coming out, which I'm not too sure about right now. I really don't know if I'm going to enjoy that one. I'll probably get it, though. I'll probably wait till it's, like, $40 or something. Maybe 30. We'll see. Or I'll just wait until next Christmas and get it for Christmas from my other brother. He played the other brother played the classic mode. He said it was really easy.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm thinking of trying that out. It's supposed to be the one where it is turn-based. It's the classic mode, so. Yep. I think that's it for things outside of the animes. I think. I guess to give people a heads up, I had a moment this morning when I was making the outline going, oh, wait, crap. Is it supposed to be preview time? Because I always forget, so I'm afraid of forgetting now. But no, it's going to be next week. So look forward to our spring preview for the spring season of anime coming next weekend. It's going to be a crazy one. That if you don't listen to our previews usually, I don't know why you wouldn't. I think that's one of our more popular episodes that we do. It is going to be a huge season, an insane season. Like, I'm afraid of it season. Like, I don't know if I'm going to have the time to watch all that seasons. So, hopefully we don't have any side projects going on at the time, because we'll probably end up watching everything together. I don't know. Unless there's something in that list that you were completely appalled by. I think most of it's pretty much all shows that we want to watch, like, really badly. So, it is going to be an insane season. So, yeah, look forward to that. But yeah, without further ado, let's jump into the news. It should be important to you because it's important to us. Because it's important to you. That sounds cooler.
I'm about to throw my watch across the room.
Why?
Because it keeps buzzing me for some stupid reason.
Trying to make sure you're still alive, obviously. Yeah. Starting things off, as Chris alluded to earlier, Funimation is now streaming the Monogatari series. So this continues their efforts to bring in all Aniplex titles into their roster, of course, because now Sony owns Aniplex and Funimation, and so they're now a collaboration effort to, I guess, improving the experience of Funimation. Roberts, looking at you. Fix that app, please. But yes, they're improving it by including new titles. So they have the Bakai Monogatari series, Nisei Monogatari series, Neko Monogatari Black, the second season of Monogatari series, Owari Monogatari Season 1, and Owari Monogatari... I almost had it all. Owari Monogatari Season 2 is all up on there. They also put on Gurren Lagann, so all the Gurren Lagann fans that hate me before not finishing Gurren Lagann, you can go watch it there. Cells at Work, March Comes Like a Lion, please go watch that now. Era Manga Sensei, Daikaichi, and Charlotte. So, cool stuff. Cool stuff.
And according to the doctors on the internets, The Cells at Work is a great show.
Yeah, I used to watch a YouTuber that did commentary on it. It was pretty funny watching him talk about it. Still need to watch that extra episode they did. I don't think I ever did watch that. They had like an OVA or something like that. I don't know if they ever posted on Crunchyroll or not. Next one we have is Kimi no Na wa, or Your Name. I mean, sorry. Kimi wa Kanata film is going to be hitting Japan in fall. This is the English title being You Are the Beyond. The synopsis for it is the adolescent fantasy film is set in Tokyo, Ikebukuro district, and centers on two childhood friends named Mio and Shin. Mio has feelings for Shin and always thinks about him, but has never been able to tell him how she feels. One day, they get into an argument over something trivial, and sometime afterwards, Mio decides to make up with him. As she heads to Shin while being drenched by the rain, she gets into a traffic accident. While Mio regains consciousness, she finds herself in a new and unfamiliar world. So she gets hit by truck-kun, isekai'd, and now she has to find her way back. It does sound incredibly close to another movie I was joking about. So, yeah. I really don't know if they're trying to, you know, bank on the Kimiwa thing, but it sounded like a good joke.
I don't know. Sounds interesting, though. Depends on if it's like a fantasy world or I don't know.
I mean, based on the key art, I think they're still in, I think it's just parallel worlds because it still shows like skyscrapers near her. So.
Yeah, but his world is dark.
Yeah, because it's nighttime. This is more daytime. Don't get crazy. She's the one that dies.
I thought it was going to be like some kind of weird, you know, zombie apocalypse land that he got stuck in.
Well, he's not the one that got hit by the car. She did. Spoilers, by the way, she gets hit by a car.
No. He's in the alternate world that's dark and zombie apocalypse because we can't have the girl in that world.
You don't really see anybody particularly notable in the creation or work for it, so I'm not sure if there's anybody special actually working on this. Their big, huge highlight is that they have these people set as the voice actors, and that's about it.
Well, hopefully it's not Jin Urobuchi or something like that.
Totally.
Then it'll get even darker than that, and I don't know if I'm going to go through all that.
But it's a project by Toho, so if you... Not Toho, like T-H... Or T-O-H-O-U. It's just T-H-O-H-O. So, don't... Yeah. Anyways. Dropkick on My Devil. The second season promo has been released. It is highlighting an April 6th premiere. And they're also noting that Haka will be doing the opening for it, so... I'm kind of super hyped for this. And it's funny because I don't think that I necessarily... I wasn't a huge fan of it starting out, but I ended up really enjoying it after a while. It's one that had to take some time to get the characters to really kind of start working for me. But I'm at the point now where I kind of want more of it. So, of course, they've been talking about this show coming to second season for a long time now. So I think they announced that they were doing a second season like right after the first season ended. And so it feels like it's been way too long because I think that was like a 2018 show, wasn't it?
Seems like it. It's been a couple of years. So, it's funny. I love the show, and I can't think of the main girl's name. All I can think of is Joshin Chan because everything revolved around Joshin Chan.
Yeah. Desno. Yeah, I kind of miss him. It's a group of really big dorks. So, yeah, if you haven't checked out Dropkick on My Devil.
It looks like they're going to get even more brutal, too.
Yeah, it's so funny. While I was watching this, the thing for it, I'm like, I don't remember if I mentioned in our original review that I kind of had a little bit of vibes of Dokoro-chan from it.
Yeah.
Just like an extremely violent comedy kind of thing. Like, just blood spraying everywhere kind of comedy. So, yeah. I miss it. I miss the Medusa girl. That poor girl. Her ATM. see here, my Setsu anime is set to premiere this summer, the official Twitter has announced. And, of course, for those who don't know, this is the one that was being done by the creator of the Lucky Star manga. So, if you're a big fan of Lucky Star, look forward to my Setsu coming this summer.
It looks like older Lucky Star girls.
It technically does, but that's technically our art style, so it doesn't really surprise me too much. Cool stuff, though. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Good news for Chris. Welcome to Demon School. Irma-kun is getting a second season. Already announced by the mangaka on Twitter. Pretty much made a little illustration for it announcing it. But yes, this will haven't really said exactly when. Oh, yeah, spring 2021. So I guess it's ending this season, so you'll have a good year before you get more.
Yeah, I'll be catching up on it probably this week.
Yeah, that's one that I want to get back to, but I'm, like, incredibly far behind on it. Of course, I'm incredibly far behind on several of my shows right now, so...
Like, it's actually
the next couple of weeks is going to be a lot of binging.
It actually feels like a pretty quick watch. Actually, it doesn't feel like you're missing anything if you happen to look away from the screen, which is actually kind of nice. It's
that's not something you want to admit.
Well,
yeah, I don't watch it, but no.
I'm not saying that I'm not watching it. I'm saying that it's
not like fast talking and stuff that you're having
exactly.
To like keep,
I mean, if you look away from them playing dodgeball, you pretty much still know that they're playing dodgeball 5 minutes later. So that's what I mean.
Well, that is the troubling thing, because like a lot of the shows that right now I need caught up on, like I need to get caught up on Pet, I need to get caught up on ID Invaded. Those are like shows that when I go to watch them, I need to like completely focus on it because they're trying to get like really deep on something. And so I feel like if I miss a single word, I'm going to not understand something. So going to a show like, say, Show by Rock is one of those ones where it's like, okay, I can relax because I don't have to – they're not going to talk too fast for me. I can kind of relax.
No, Show
Having
by Rock
is exactly –
having a mental
burnout from your work really sucks when you're trying to focus on a show is all I'm saying.
Show by Rock is a lot like Iramakun where, you know, they're whining about each other's shoes being wrong, and so 20 minutes later they're still arguing about their shoes, so you're not going to be missing out on much if you look away from the screen for 5 seconds.
It's funny because like Show by Rock right now is like my just kind of comfort food
yeah.
of the week. It's just like stupid goofy. Well, see, it's like whenever there's a girl episode, it's just like, oh, this is like really cute and fluffy, I really like this. And then they have like a boy episode and it's like, oh, this is just loud and funny but not relaxing. So it's like very jarring because I have to kind of get my mindset in the fact of, oh yeah, we had a fluffy episode last week. That means the boys are going to be this week. So they maybe they'll
when
do
did this become about the stupid Dojin finger? This is supposed to be about
Dojin finger.
Oh
no, it's. I think that was how it was with the original one.
They did that with Crimson Sherman, but it was not. No, it was not.
And it's funny because they did the same thing with the Vacation as the original group too, where the main girls, they went to an actual good place, and the guys ended up like some kind of mountainside track. They had to go up a hill and stuff. So yeah, it's just kind of it's jarring at the same time, and it sucks because with the Shield Girl, Beaufort, whatever. It's just not really doing it for me, so I'm, like, incredibly bored watching that one. And so I'm, like, trying to find my other fluffy show. And it's either Show by Rock when it's the girls, or it's just watching Seton where I can just laugh and really enjoy that one. So I don't really have, like, a full-on, relaxed, fluffy show. So it's good that we're getting Arya the Animation review copies right now. So I guess that's where I'm getting my relaxed moments from.
He heard our pain from his weird dungeon and just goes like, I need to
Sean Kleckner's like, I must send them the Arya. Release Arya now. They must get it.
I wonder if he does listen to us and he's like, okay, now is about the time I need to send this.
I was really sad the other day because I remember the penguin. I miss the penguin. I like their old mascot better. He even did like a whole campaign where he danced around a penguin outfit, and I miss the penguin outfit. Oh well, I guess I kind of like the new mascot, not as much as the penguin though.
I like Ritsu. I think she's adorable.
I miss the penguin. So yes, Iramakun. I'm going to try to get back to that one. Like right now, like I said, I need to get Blade of Immortal. I still need to finish. I'm probably at the mid core on that one. Pet. ID Invaded. I'm keeping up on Babylon. Or Babylonia, sorry, not Babylon. Babylon's done. Andrew, you don't have to watch Babylon anymore. And then I think I might go to see if I can finish Iramakun. Because I did enjoy it. It's like one of those shows where you really enjoy it. You have no problem with it. But it's like it's not calling me to go watch it kind of thing. So,
and that was the main reason why I ended up falling away from that show. Even though I wanted... the entire year I wanted to go back to it, and I just never could. Did they say that they were coming back?
Which one?
Or the one that we were talking about, and I can't think of the name of it.
Keep wanting to say Guru Guru, but it's not Guru Guru.
Oh, was it that it was coming to
Gigigi no Kitaro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gigigi no Kitaro was the same thing. It's like I really wanted to go back to it, but I just never had a draw to it. Everything about it was fine. Just never did for some reason, so... it sucks because it is one of those things where I don't want to kill us by having too many shows that we watch together, so we do have some time that we can kind of relax and do other things. But at the same time, I know that if we don't do it together and watch it together and devote to it, it's never going to get watched. and I was also thinking we probably should just get back onto keep your hands off of whatever Izuken. Keep your hands off Izuken.
Did you get caught up on that last few episodes to? Because supposedly everything changed in the fourth episode. So
everything always changes in the fourth episode.
The one that we don't watch.
No, that's what I'm saying. I've kind of debated just go ahead and let's fire up that again. I don't see why not. Probably after we finish the second season of Arya, maybe. Because I do want to put a priority on that one. So inside baseball for y'all. Inside baseball. Trying to get all the stuff done. Still haven't finished editing the fairy tale episode. Getting to it eventually. Please be patient. And the Kill la Kill episode. Next one. I'm standing on a million lives. Gets an anime in October. This one's being done by Maho Film Studio. The synopsis is ninth grader Yusuke Yotsuya is practical, friendless, and not active in any clubs. Then one day, he and two female class members are suddenly sent to another world where they must work together to battle for their lives. Yotsuya is a lone wolf and has always lived his life according to what he wants. But how will it work out now that he is supposed to be a hero? Get ready for a one-of-a-kind fantasy story that will challenge everything you know about fantasy. And yeah, by the way, spoilers in the trailer. I don't know if it's going to be like one of those reset kind of things, but it shows like a bunch of people dying. So, there you go. I'm standing on a million lives. Another isekai show. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's going to be one of those things where like they're isekai'd and then they have to fight for their lives, or if it's like an isekai where just the way that sounds, I guess it can either be a thing where the lives of the people, the kingdom is in his hands, or maybe the lives of his classmates are in his hands. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, there you go. Cool stuff. Crunchyroll is beginning to stream has begun to stream the first episode of the fifth Tenchimoyo OVA series. It does have a listing on their main page for that, as they're simulcasting every Friday, so I don't know if they're going to have the rest of the episodes, but so far they have one episode. There's a total of six episodes, so might be able to finally watch the new Tenchimoyo series. That'd be cool.
I hope so. I really want to see some Tenchimoyo.
Yeah, yeah. I miss my old cast. It's like licensing hell for the longest time. It's been so long since I've seen a new show of it, and I keep seeing it pop up in the news that there's a new show for it. It really sucks. I don't know if they may be asking too much for it, or if it's just that maybe it doesn't have as much popularity as I think it's supposed to have. I think back in the day when all the clubs that I was with, everybody loved it, so it puzzles me that not everybody, it just doesn't get quickly licensed, but we'll see. Also streaming on Crunchyroll, they now have the Aka 13 Territory Inspection Department OVA. So if you are a fan of Aka 13, go check that out. Not sure exactly what it says. The special story is set in the capital city of Badon 1 year after the events of the television anime, and shows Jean and the rest of the Aka department preparing for a 1 year anniversary of the establishment of the new order. For the characters caught between rumors and unrest, unchanging days. Now crossroads or new crossroads gazes, remembered in memory, and days of new beginnings. Time once again begins to move forward. So it looks like just a little after story. So cool stuff. website for Mamoru Oshii's new anime series, Vlad Love, has revealed new key art and a visual for the series. It's going to premiere in 2020. And, of course, for those who don't know who Mamoru Oshii is, he is known for Urusei Yatsura, Ghost in the Shell, and Jinro. So, kind of a prolific name there. It's kind of funny, though, because they have a kind of a promo going for the little quick PV they released that has one of the main characters kind of introducing themselves. That if they have, like, a little, like, competition that if you can guess the seiyuu that's actually going to be voicing the character, they'll put you into a drawing for the screenings for it. So I guess if you're in Japan and you know who it is, go ahead and submit and see if you can get into the screenings for it. So cool stuff.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, I have a couple ideas, but I'm not really good with names when I think of names. So I have to end up finding the characters and looking up the characters to find out the seiyuus of other characters.
And that's not going to give us much of a confirmation. It's just going to say, oh, we think it's this.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, the new anime is a slapstick comedy centering around a vampire girl named Mai and a high school girl. Oh my gosh, I'm still doing that. It's just reminding me I need to watch High Score Girl whenever it comes out so I can keep doing that. And then eventually I'm going to go, that's right, it's out now. It's a good reminder. Mai and a high school girl. Oshii noted that the anime won't have many handsome men, and its story will solely focus on five young girls. He added that he wanted to seriously tackle a story centering around girl meets girl concept, and teased that Mai feels similar to Urusei Yatsura Lum. So, cool stuff there. If you're a fan of Urusei Yatsura, you'll probably be intrigued by that. It's been too long since I've watched that, so I'm kind of a little vague on it, but I did like Lum, so cool stuff.
I can't wait.
This is an interesting one. I seen on my Twitter at some point some people freaking out about this show getting, or this manga getting an adaptation in anime, and I kind of went, I don't even know what this is, but I kind of recognized the art style, and then I found the news article for it, and I'm like, okay, now that makes sense. But the Twitter account for Fly Me to the Moon manga has revealed that they have an anime adaptation coming in October. The manga is by the Hayate the Combat Butler's creator, Kenjiro Hata. So, for those that have seen the artwork for this, you probably get the familiar art style there. The comedy follows a boy named Nasa, who meets a generally cute girl named Tsukasa. Generally cute.
Okay.
I guess it's like a playoff of the original title, which is Tonikaku Kawaii. So, generally cute named Tsukasa on the day of his high school entrance exams and immediately falls in love with her. Nasa confesses his feeling, but her response is that she will only go out with him if they get married. Years later, on Nasa's 18th birthday, she appears to get married. Thus begins Nasa's newlywed lifestyle. So, hey, an anime about newlyweds.
There you go.
Now, do you think it's one of those things where they, like, they're supposed to get married, but they're not really married yet, and then thus begins the shenanigans? Or do you think they literally
get married? No, I think that they're going to be literally married, and somehow there's a kink in the system that they're not supposed
wrench
to be.
Yeah. Somewhere in their throne. Mm-hmm. Hits somebody in the head, knocks them out. Punchline. Funny stuff. But yeah, characters look cute. That sounds like a interesting little thing. Don't usually get animes about newlyweds. So, cool stuff. Apare Ranman, the anime that is by PA Works coming up here soon, the one that's set in like a Wild West America cross-country racing thing that they're doing, apparently is getting a manga in April. So alongside the anime adaptation or the original anime, they'll be selling a manga, which is usually typical with PA Works. They do a lot of original series and then they do like novels or manga off the side that kind of sell on the side. So they're kind of weird in the scheme of anime where you usually have, you know, company goes to studio that says, hey, adapt this manga so we can sell some more manga. PA Works is usually, let's make the anime and make the manga at the same time. It's kind of weird. So cool stuff, though. Hopefully the anime turns out to be cool and there'll be some interest created in that manga. Interesting to you?
Looks a little bit crazy down there.
Down where?
I was looking at the key art over here.
Oh. So yeah, cool stuff. Next one, How to Treat Magical Beasts manga is ending in its fifth compilation volume this summer. This is a series that is being currently licensed by Seven Seas if you're looking to pick it up. But it follows, it's in a time when humans begin to forget magic and science has risen up to take its place. Mythical beasts are beginning to disappear from the world. A young girl named Ziska, born into a line of mages, becomes the apprentice to a veterinarian for magical creatures. With the two of them working together, they help to save beasts of legend from a world that is leaving them behind. Cool little concept.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully it gets an adaptation.
Right?
Because I don't have time to read mangas. It is one of those ones where I see it like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'd like to check that out. Oh, it's a manga. One of these days, maybe. I don't know. I got too many manga right now to read. Celebration Time. Another show that seems to have been, we thought was lost to kind of Amazon streaming hell. Apparently, Sentai Filmworks has picked up After the Rain anime to release it on home video. So, cool stuff there. I'm always hopeful that somebody picks up some of those shows from there. The Common Area of the Iron Fortress thankfully got picked up by Crunchyroll and in a sense, you know, released by Funimation. But there's a few of them on there that kind of, I get scared or kind of get dead on there.
Yeah, Shouhou Genroku.
No, that's on Crunchyroll. But yeah, it also died to streaming hell. Amazon, Crunchyroll, Netflix are pretty much streaming hell. Like, if it's on High Dive, you know it's going to get a physical release.
That's what I was thinking you were talking about, was a physical release of some of these shows.
Yeah, Shouhou, I don't know.
Because if Sentai picks it up, it means they're going to release it, right?
Right. Because they're kind of a home video release kind of place, so. They're technically High Dive, but they don't want to be associated that they're both the same company, but they're basically owned by the same company, so. Or same people, at least, so. Cool stuff, though. I know there's a lot of fans of After the Rain. I really did love the art style to it, and it did some really cool stuff with the characters. I kind of really would have liked more, because there was a lot of things that kind of got left undone. But that is usually kind of the case with something that's so long-running. But very cool show. Cool to see it getting a hopefully good Blu-ray release. So, moving forward, we have Fate Stay Night, Heaven's Feel. Third movie is set to premiere in U.S. theaters on May 7th. And the prior movies will release on April 23rd. So if you're just not caught up yet, you can see those in theatrical glory before the new third one comes out, and hopefully it won't be too long before we get a Blu-ray so I can watch it. It is kind of one of those ones where I almost want to think, should we drive 8 hours to go watch it? Kind of don't want to have to wait.
Is it still coming out 8 hours away, or have you looked to see if they've started getting any closer to us?
Last time I checked, what was the last one I checked? I think I checked for Your Name, and yeah, it was pretty much an 8-hour drive. Just really, like an entire day. It's an entire day. I don't have days to spare like that anymore. Unless I take a day off. I guess I could do that. I don't know. I just hate driving for an entire day just to watch one movie. Oh, well. It's just the thing with living where we live. I got good news and bad news for you, Chris.
What's that?
We have an extremely adorable new trailer for the Kakushigoto anime series that's coming up. And the other good news is that you can totally hear Araragi's voice from the main character, which totally fits him because he looked like an Araragi character.
It totally sounds like an Araragi.
I guess the sad news is that it's on Funimation, which would be fine if Roberts fixed the app. I'd be totally fine with it being on Funimation. Fix that app, Roberts.
I do love the artwork. I think that this show absolutely looks amazing. I cannot wait to watch it.
It's just, it screams
Zetsubou
Sensei. Hey, okay, if he's listening to us, Sean Kleckner. It was right stuff that picked up Zetsubou Sensei, right?
Tabu.
Yeah, Nozomi Entertainment. I don't know how much pull he has with Nozomi Entertainment, but come on. I want my Zetsubou Sensei already. If I get that, I'm totally going to watch the whole damn thing. And I will sing its praises on my podcast if I can just get it in my hands. But no, going back to Kakushikoto, go check out the trailer for it. Looks really great. Cannot wait for it. I don't know anything about the story. Well, I know the synopsis where he's hiding the fact that he's a mangaka. Obviously, from the trailer, she finds it. So I don't know if she's going to put two and two together that he makes it, but it looks really cute, and I hope that it turns out to be really awesome. But Flumpu is also pretty much revealed in that trailer to being the creator of the OP. Sounds like a fantastic song as well. So everything is in line, except for needing Roberts to fix the app. There we go. Moving on, we have Baki. Baki gets a new trailer announcing its second season and that it will be premiering in 2020. So look forward to the Netflix release of Baki. Still another one of those ones that I technically need to get caught up on. Dude, he's just spilling blood like everywhere. It just looks like so over the top. So over the top of the muscles. Yeah, definitely one that I want to get caught up on as well. But yeah, Baki, second season. The seiyuu for Shinji Ikari has come out and announced on, I believe, Twitter that they have finished. She claims they have finished the dialogue recording for Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0 film.
Okay.
And Studio Kara apparently claims that the film will still open on June 27th. They're claiming this. Don't know if it's true. And they also hope that fans in the West will be excited to see the film in 2029. I added that last part. Because it'll probably take forever.
I'm thinking it'll be 2030.
That's a big question mark. Because I know the big conversation that came up when Netflix got the original series. Of course, before Netflix got the original series, a big question was up is like, why the hell doesn't anybody have the original series? And it was like some whispers that it was a lot of money they wanted. And of course, when Netflix announced that they got it and they were redubbing it, it wasn't too much of a surprise. Like, yeah, Netflix has the money. They're going to throw it at Studio Kara and Kara's going to give it up. But the big question now, well, I guess it's not really a big question because I already know the answer to it. The question now is who's getting 3.0, 1.0? Because sure, heck, Funimation isn't going to get it. Because what did Funimation do with 2? And
they screwed it up, too.
They screwed up bad. They had some really bad translation issues. They had to redo the entire thing. It took them, 4 years before we finally got it?
Yeah.
I think Netflix is going to get it. And that sucks because that means I'm not going to get a Blu-ray of it. That really sucks. I know they're going to get it because now they have that relationship already established with Studio Kara. Re-release
happy to give them tons of money. So.
Yeah, they're going to be happy to give them tons of money. I just hope that they don't hold the license so that somebody else can at least do a release of it.
That's an interesting question.
I'm already angry and I haven't even heard the news. I'm angry before it even gets announced.
At least on the bright side, we'll be able to watch it soon.
That is true. You do have a glass half full statement there. But it's a glass that I want to pick up and throw across the room because I know it means I'll never get a Blu-ray release of it. The question.
Okay, so that means that we maybe look if all that's in this announcement is true. Then that means we may start getting to see it at the beginning of next year. If Netflix has it.
That is a good question, too, because, I mean, the initial thought process that I have is, no, it would be in theaters in Japan, and they would have to wait until Japan releases the Blu-ray, and then they'll release it with the Blu-ray. Or they wouldn't stream it with the Blu-ray because they'd want to have Blu-ray sales. They'd have to wait until a little while after the Blu-ray sells, and then they would stream it on Netflix. But if Netflix goes, hey, we want that to stream it outside of Japan really quickly after the theatrical release, because Netflix isn't going to care about doing a theatrical release of it here.
Right.
So that means you probably won't get a theatrical release of 3.0 in the West if Netflix picks it up.
Right.
They don't care about theaters. They want you to watch it on their streaming service. So that definitely does lead itself to, if Netflix gets it, it will go in theaters in Japan. And then I would say, yeah, there's nothing against them saying 6 months later, I want it on Netflix worldwide outside of Japan.
So you're thinking second quarter. I'm thinking first quarter.
I'm just saying if Netflix gets it, they will want it quickly.
All right. You're giving a little bit more time for the
but they'll dub it too.
Well, I'm thinking that they'll do the dubbing while it's doing its sales.
I'm thinking early year 2021 too. Because they'll probably take a year dubbing it and everything. Maybe mid next year. I would say mid next year.
Yeah, you're that's still. Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm first quarter year, second quarter.
Yeah. Calendar year, second quarter. Wow, way to totally listen to depressing thoughts. Well, yeah, like I'm with you. It's like it's cool that we get it quicker, but it sucks because it'll be a Netflix hell. I don't want to be stuck on their streaming service.
Well, even if and unless okay, I'm gonna be the devil's advocate here again. If it does go to Funimation, at least you'll still have a matching set. You'll still have
Blu-ray.
it'll be a crappy Blu-ray, but it's going to be 7 years before you see it.
I guess the hope is that at least with Funimation getting it, they'll give me a temporary Blu-ray, and hopefully eventually somebody else will pick up the license and they can release a proper Blu-ray. With Netflix, it'll always be on their platform. You'll never get a Blu-ray of it.
But you'll get to see it sooner.
But that's true, though, because also if Funimation gets it, they release a crappy Blu-ray of it for me temporarily, and then, you know, 3 years down the road, they close, Netflix can still pick it up and put it back in the streaming hell. So I'm going to lose either way, no matter what. Netflix will get it in the end. Or Amazon. I guess Amazon could pull it, too. I just wish that somebody talks to Netflix and says, hey, you know, be the beginning, Ike Incarnate, you know, all these shows that you guys are doing, just let us do a Blu-ray release of it. And I know their mentality is, no, we want them to watch it on our streaming platform. I was like, no, look, it's been 2 years. Unless your platform shows that you are still streaming that damn show today, just put it on Blu-ray. The fans want it.
You know, and it's so funny because they originally started as a send out.
They did the rentals. And it was mainly because they knew that not everybody could stream it. But then at some point, I guess they found that they just didn't have much call for it. So they stopped. Plus, you also have the, what they call them, the blue box or red box.
Yeah, they still have the red box thing.
That's not Netflix.
I don't know if that's them or not. I thought I heard at some point that they are the same thing, but I don't know.
It's the same thing, but I don't think it's the same company.
It wasn't something that I cared to take the 5 minutes to figure out. So
you're like, huh, I don't have time. Not enough time, don't care. Moving on. Yeah, can't wait for that. I would love to finally get a conclusion to the Evangelion series. I kind of want to watch. I will rewatch that series before I watch the new one because it's been so long since I watched the series. Need to get recouped into it, just like with the Heaven's Feel. Need to rewatch it. So, High Dive. We're just talking about Sentai Filmworks. High Dive has begun to stream Made in the Abyss compilation films. So if you wanted to get into the series, didn't want to watch the actual TV series, want to watch the actual theatrical compilation, go check that out and be prepared for the next season that's coming up. Because it's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. So I think that's a spring one too, isn't it? Yeah? Yes? No?
Made don't in know.
Abyss?
I don't know. Otherwise, I would have answered you when you said it.
You kind of keep quiet every now and then, so I never know when you are, and you're like, nah, I just don't want to answer you. Maybe it's two. No, they don't have a date set yet. I thought it was spring. Might be. It's coming, though. It is coming around the corner. See here. Outsiders Picnic. Or Outsiders. Other Side Picnic novel is getting anime adaptation. This one is based off of a Yuri novel. And it's being done by Studio Leiden Films and Felix Films. The synopsis is, her first encounter with Toriko Nishina was on the other side after seeing that thing and nearly dying. Mm-hmm. That thing. Is it talking about like a monster or just like a part of the other
I
girl?
Don't know. I think I'm thinking it's
probably
the,
a monster because they have guns.
I'm thinking it's the thing that they're holding, but it could be something else. Either way, the girls with guns. I'm loving it. Let's watch it.
Yuri girls with guns.
Yuri girls with guns. Yes.
Ever since that day, exhausted university student Sorawo Kamikoshi's life changes. My gosh, her name is just throwing me off so bad. In this other world, full of mystery, which exists alongside our own, dangerous beings like the Kune Kune and Hashaku-sama that are spoken of in real ghost stories appears. For research, for profit, and to find an important person, Toriko and Sorawo set foot into the abnormal, a tale of two girls' bizarre exploration and survival, brought to you by an up-and-coming sci-fi author.
So, yes, it was some kind of a beast that she's seen, and so that's what happened.
Could be.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic and then food girls... Porn.
Food porn.
Where did food porn come from?
Picnic. They're having a picnic. Is she heterochromia? Is she? I need to investigate. Where's my damn button? There it is. Ah, she's heterochromia. I'm sold on this show.
Blue and yellow. Yeah. Sure enough.
Cool stuff. Don't get enough heterochromia girls. I don't know why. It's like, hold on, Chris, we must find out heterochromia. Enhance.
Your enhance is much better.
Yes. Enhance more.
Your enhance is much better than that stupid show on
enhance.
That my mom watches all the time. So,
dang, it doesn't enhance anymore.
Okay. Come on. You're much better computer geek than the people on TV anyway.
Go over here. Oh, it's Dan.
Opened it with the wrong one.
No! It's not saving it in. I just want to save a stupid copy of it. Moving on. These little ways to keep you from being able to get images off their site. It's like, whatever. Anyways, moving on, we have Crunchyroll has released a trailer highlighting their new quote-unquote Crunchyroll Originals. Which was a pretty cool little trailer. Got to see some amazing shows like High School Spice or whatever that show is called that nobody wants to watch. And then Inspectre was on there as well. It's pretty much shows they are investing into. So I think they're part of the production production for it. So producers for it. Most of them look like shows that are, I guess, Western studios. But there's a few in there that are kind of big... kind of exciting titles that people are kind of looking forward to. One being The God of High School, which I've heard plenty of people kind of screaming about excitement for them actually adapting that one. It's based off of manhwa and it's being done by Studio MAPPA, so you know it's going to be some awesome animation at least for it. They also had Tower of God, which is also based off of manhwa and is being done by Sola Entertainment. And you guessed it, another show based off of manhwa, Noblesse, being done by Production IG. So a lot of manhwa shows, apparently, Crunchyroll has some kind of connection with a manhwa publisher or something like that. So, yeah, it is one of those one things where you kind of, you do see the criticisms with this one, the same that the reason why everybody criticized Netflix when they were calling... Neon Genesis Evangelion an original for Netflix, but it's just kind of a title they give to it because they put money into it. That's really all it is. But yeah, cool stuff. cool stuff coming out of Crunchyroll. It is kind of exciting. I know a lot of people kind of in the arguments about piracy and stuff like that, they often say that, you know, Crunchyroll is just taking a lot of money for themselves. It's not for the anime. But if you look at stuff like this, they are putting a lot of money out there for the anime industry, getting a lot of titles at least pushed to being produced, like Rising of the Shield Hero and A Place Further in the Universe. So, really cool stuff.
Yeah, that is awesome.
I have never heard about the Tower or the God of High School, but apparently a lot of people are excited for it, so I'm kind of curious why. So I guess we'll see when that one finally comes out, if it turns out to be as exciting as people are making out. But being done by MAPPA does get me pretty excited that it probably is something with some hype worthy to be behind it. So, cool stuff. I thought that we already talked about this before, but yes, the remaining episodes for the Sword Art Online Alicization War of the Underworld will premiere on April 25th. So look forward to that.
Hurry up.
Sugumomo Season 2 coming this spring. Going to be debuting on April 5th. So look forward to that one.
Hurry up.
Yep. Yeah. More cool action and naughty. Etchy. You'll say etchy. let's see here. Next bit is Aniplex has released a trailer, or a teaser, actually. I wouldn't call it a trailer. A teaser for a new original anime called Warlords of, I'm going to butcher this, Sigurdrifa. Maybe it's Sigurdrifa. I don't know. Something German or something. The Japanese title is Senyoku no Sigurdrifa. The kind of exciting thing behind this is that it has the ReZero writer, Tape Nagatsuki, is going to be apparently writing the scripts for it. The lyrical Nanoha Vivid manga creator, Takuya Fujima, is going to be doing the character designs for it. And apparently, somebody involved with Strike Witches and Panzer Dragoon, or Dragon, Girls on Panzer, and the co-creator for High School Fleet, Takaki Suzuki, will be doing the world building and research for it. Basically, the teaser just shows a cool panning in and out with cool visual effects to show off a key art, which is a girl standing next to a kind of a, I don't know, an 80s, what would they call them? The double bladed wing, is it biplane? Parallel on it and everything. Old school style plane. So,
Dogfighters.
Might be a dogfighter type of show. I don't know.
No, dogfighters were single plane.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know there was a specific type of plane for dogfighting. Cool stuff, though. Definitely, I'm not too sure about them going after a guy that did High School Fleet. I don't know about a company touting that they have somebody that did High School Fleet really impresses me, but having the writer behind ReZero and character designs from Lyrical Nanoha definitely does kind of get me a little intrigued. So we'll see. We'll see what comes of that one as soon as we can hopefully get some trailer or something, not just a key art. Would be cool. So
basically plain nuts we are not. So if you know what they are, forgive us.
Well, Chris, actually, pushing glasses up, let me tell you. Let me educate you. Let me edumacate you. Great news. One Room is getting a third anime season.
Oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this.
I knew you were waiting for this. So I kept this way towards the end so it would re-spark your interest in the podcast. But you've been with me, so that's good.
I said I was going to try and drive this thing. I suck at driving, but hey. I mean, we've hit like 5 potholes, but hey, I'm at least trying.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for this. I think we're the only ones that love the show.
I love this show.
I had so much fun with the first season. The second season was a little more difficult to do my jokes with, because with the first season, it was really kind of very focused on the first person perspective kind of storytelling, Whereas the second season kind of seemed like it kind of pushed a little away from that and went into a lot more character developments for the actual characters. But we'll see if the third season can return to the old ways of me doing my own storytelling, or if it's going to tell its own story. But excited for it. Apparently the same, they have returning cast members and everything. The trailer they had for it showed the two, basically the characters from the first season, the characters from the second season, and then they kind of go into a question mark of who will be the new characters, and they have some silhouettes for the characters. So excited to see who these new characters are. And for those that don't know, one of the main draws that we had to this one initially was that it was the same character designer for Haneko. So really love their character designs for this. But it's just basically first person storytelling, which is kind of unique and interesting. So cool stuff. Cannot wait. Coming in 2020. Hopefully not. I'm hoping summer. I'm hoping to be a summer short. That'd be cool. I'd go with that. Moving on. Because I think everybody's bored listening to us talk about One Room because everybody hates it except for us. the new trailer for Rent-A-Friend anime adaptation has been released.
Rent-A-Friend?
Rent-A-Girlfriend, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, let's get a little more personal with this. Rent-A-Girlfriend. Chris is not happy with just being friends. But yes, new trailer released for it, highlighting Mizuhara, which is one of the girls, apparently. So, really cute little trailer. Kind of shows them going out on a date. And as the title...
She is freaking adorable.
As the title would suggest, she is, doing it for money. And I think there's like this whole situation where they're probably going to bump into each other at school, and then they'll kind of get closer, even though they were supposed to be paying for, you know, their relationship. So, looks fun. Definitely looking forward to it. But check out that trailer, and it'll probably spike your interest, or maybe it'll turn you off to it. So, we'll see.
I don't know. I'm really wanting to watch that one, so...
Another trailer we've been excited to see for a long time now is for Sayonara Terano, which is the new movie that's coming out here soon. Kind of highlights the theme song and shows a lot of animation for it, a lot of the seiyus that we kind of already knew about. But I have to say, after watching the trailer, I am...
That is so my level not of excitement. That is not Petri.
My excitement for it has definitely
gone up. That's not Sarah. The heck?
Yeah, they're not Land Before Time characters, that's for sure. But looks cute. I definitely am excited for it. I think that was one of those ones where we kind of joked about it a lot when we first heard about it, but after I kind of see it in motion, I'm kind of interested in it now. So, outside of just wanting to see if it's a Land Before Time. So, yeah. Excited?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She does look cute.
Yeah.
But not Petri.
Little pterodactyl being taken care of by a tyrannosaurus. And a Aoyuki as a little triceratops. So let's see here. Going forward, we have Netflix is doing something pretty crazy, in my opinion. They are forming partnership with 6 Japanese creators to expand its anime lineup. One of them being Clamp.
Clamp, I see that.
That was a big one. But yes, they are currently partnering up with manga creators Clamp, who of course did X and Cardcaptor Sakura and Tsubasa Chronicles, right?
Yeah.
A lot of other ones. The manga creator Shin Kibayashi, who did The File of Young Kendaichi and The Drops of God. Also with manga creator Yasuo Otogaki, who did Moonlight Mile, Mobile Suit Gundam Thunderbolt. That's another really huge one right there, I think. With novelist and film creator Atsuichi, who did Stare Film, Goth, Calling You, and Zoo. As well as novelist Tao Ubukata, who did Le Chevalier Dion, Marduk Scramble. That's
the big name right there.
Psycho Pass Season 2 and Psycho Pass... Not Season. Psycho Pass 2 and Psycho Pass 3. So that's another big one, probably. And also manga creator Mari Yamazaki, who did Thamare Romae and Olympia Kylos.
I think those are the girl reverse harems.
Yeah, that's a crazy partnership that you kind of created there. Now, granted, I think the only, really with a lot of those, you're really just looking at probably possibilities of adaptations of different things. Maybe, you know, picking up Yasuo Atagaki just for the, you know, creative style, because technically Gundam Thunderbolt has already been adapted and that is somebody else's property. Probably just looking more for him for storytelling purposes. Clamp, I mean, you have a huge catalog of possibilities of things that they can adapt with that. Or again, you can get into the idea of them just creating a new story for them. But I guess with a lot of these, you do have some options there for their stories they may have created, but you also have the option of them creating new stories. But I think a lot of them is more for possibly just catalog.
Could you imagine Clamp absolutely taking advantage of that and just revamping their entire library? Just redoing the entire Cardcaptor Sakura, redoing the entire Tsubasa Chronicles. I mean,
I think with clear card art kind of coming out, I don't think they really have a desire to go back and redo the old one. Now, Tsubasa Chronicles, I can see that being a really cool one to go back to. I mean, I didn't really get too much into it.
I mean, they have unlimited funds with Netflix. Why not?
Well, it's going to be an aspect of what they see to actually make money off it. Now, exactly. Yeah, granted, I guess technically I don't remember how big Cardcaptor Sakura was back in the day.
It was huge. It's always been huge.
I don't know about that. I guess they would be able to gauge the interest in Cardcaptor Sakura based off of what the viewership was today, or with Clear Arc in.
It's true.
Because like we mentioned, it is, while I do love it to death because it is Cardcaptor Sakura, I do acknowledge the fact that even when I'm watching it, I'm going, technically isn't for adults. It's technically still has that flavor of it trying to be very simple for a younger audience. And so it does kind of beg the question of
this is
if they're
true.
Really still just kicking with the kids, they'll gauge interest based off of that, and they can go and readapt the old one, which I'm perfectly fine with. I'm perfectly fine with that. So
because I would be see here's my thing. I'm thinking back on, I mean, you've got even against Sailor Moon, I'd
would be a cool one for them to redo. By the way, because that was huge too. That was way huge.
Clamp.
Yes, plenty of pictures of clamps. Oh, Magic Knight! There it is. Netflix is bringing back Magic Knight Ray Earth. Calling it now.
Think so?
I go with that. No, I doubt that. I extremely doubt that.
Chobits. They could redo my Chobits.
Chobits.
Please redo my Chobits.
No, Netflix would butcher it. You know it.
Not if Clamp takes care of it. If Clamp does it, I
hope you have a good clause in that contract that says you will not alter our work.
Please don't. But yes, I definitely want it back.
I would say, I'm with you. I would say Cardcaptor Sakura, I can possibly see X. Now, wouldn't mind Tsubasa Chronicles. The rest of it is kind of one of those. Yeah, I know XXXHolic has its fandom, but I don't think it was strong enough because that was one that they technically dropped. Crazy though. That was probably the news article that popped up that made me kind of go, whoa, wait a second. I seen Clamp's name and Netflix next to each other. Scares me.
This is true.
Oh
yeah. That's the downside. Even if they do redo my Chobits, I'm never going to actually get a physical.
It also says here, Clamp has produced designs for 20 characters for an unannounced anime project. And Kibayashi is working on an anime project by pinning scripts and other text documents. I wonder if it's been going on for a while or if that's something else. Intriguing. Yep. I don't know. I think Cardcaptor Sakura is not... The original series is still... It's still gorgeous. So it's not. It's one of those ones where it doesn't really need to be enhanced. I would technically take the old animation over the new one.
Yeah,
but it's not, again, it's Netflix not has more money. It could be a lot better animation. But yeah. I don't know if they'd be doing that while simultaneously doing clerk hardening.
See, to be more clear, okay, I'm thinking more along the lines of the jump from Studio Dean to Ufotable in Fate Stay Night, okay? It's not necessarily that it was bad. It's just that all the updated stuff, a team that's well-funded would make a really, really phenomenal show. And Cardcaptor Sakura deserves that.
Yeah, but why would you do that while you're still trying to sell people on Clearheart Cardhin? They're literally still doing the manga and technically will do more anime adaptation as they're doing it.
I'm not saying that they don't have they have to do it while they're doing the clear card. I'm just
unless they specifically want to.
They have a unlimited fund of money. I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it. I mean, if you have somebody who's willing to cover the costs to redo the entire show, why not?
Yeah, that assumes that Netflix is still doing their old ways of here's a ton of money, do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
They could have kind of backed off and said, look.
Yeah, I mean, the way it looks that
somebody knocks on your door in Japan and they have a Netflix sign on their shirt. They're like, yes,
we just won the lottery.
They're like, whoa, we're not doing that anymore. I know your friends got like pretty much suitcases and everything paid, but we're not doing that anymore.
The way it looks, it looks like that's what they're doing. I mean, whether or not they're actually doing that or not, I don't know. It just, that's the way it looks. I mean, they just partnered with a bunch of companies. Okay. I mean, what is the partnering? I don't know, but we can assume that they're just saying, what do you want to do? Let us know. We'll make it, put it on our platform. That's the only catch.
Yeah, you don't television. No television. Going straight to the streaming. All right. Moving on to our last bit here. We have Yen Press has licensed the following. Konosuba, an explosion on this world, on this wonderful world. Bonus story, we are the Megaman Bandits light novel. The Garden of Words novel, The Last Round Arthur's novel, or manga, sorry. Last Round Arthur's manga. Yoshi no Zui Kara, The Frog in the Well Does Not Know the Ocean manga. Maho Raba manga. Aka 13 Territory Inspection Department PS manga. And Puella Magia Madoka Magica Omnibus Edition manga. And Tokyo Pop has licensed Usan Idol. Yes, it's a 36-year-old idol. And Bang Dream Girls Band Party Roselia Stage. So, cool stuff there. And the last one we have is Aokana 4 Rhythms Across the Blue is to hit PlayStation 4 in the West this summer. Published by P-Cube. Oh, and Switch.
Yes.
Yes. Remember Aokana?
Yes.
Okay, make sure.
I like it, but okay. I don't know why I would be excited
weird,
about it.
Very weird response. I don't know. Like, yay. I don't know. Something like, oh, yay. Yeah, would you?
I mean, I like it. But just not something I'm going to go excited about.
Bye. Excitement. Anyways, that's it for our news. Let's move on to our community. Again, if you go to talkaspear.com, you can go to the top there to the forum links at the top. Click on there, go to the anime cast question thread, and post your questions. Or you can go to
can
the contact us button.
Bigger? I cannot read a word on the screen.
Oh, wait. Enhance. Is that enhanced enough?
A little bit much. All right, well, you could do that. That works better.
Okay. As I was saying, you can also go to the contact us button at the top at talkaspear.com, or you just tweet it to us. Do whatever you want. Just get it to us, and we'll answer on the podcast. Like these fine people has done. Like Daylan, who sent us a question through our contact us button at the top of talkaspear.com, says, Dear Andrew and Chris, I really surprised myself
the other
day.
Why is Andrew always first?
It's alphabetical.
That's true. But I am the oldest. I know it doesn't seem like that, but I am the oldest. Just pointing that out for everybody. Just in case anybody wondered.
Very awkward flex. Moving on. I really surprised myself the other day when I started watching the Fate series and found that I really enjoy it. It's sad that he sent this to us before we did the Fate podcast. So hopefully you enjoy the Fate podcast. I didn't really care for Fate Stay Night, so I brushed the rest of the series off. Boy, had I made a mistake. Not only did Fate Go is the best mobile game that I have ever played. Just wait till that gotcha get you. So now I'm digging in through the other series of y'all's to listen to the Fate Go talk, as there seems to be no other podcast covering it. So my question to you guys is, would y'all consider making Fate Go segment when the new content is released for the game? I've been entertained by the information you've given me. Thank you so much.
Well, here's what we'll do for you. Just for you. We will make an entire podcast based on Fate Go just for you.
And you can listen to it right now.
It's already up.
It's already up. Wasn't really much Fate Go talk in that one, though. No, it's one of those really difficult things. And this is me being perfectly honest with you, is that you'll have some people that go, yay, you talk about the Fate Go game that I play a lot, and I really enjoy listening to the segments, and thanks for actually talking about it, because nobody else talks about it. And then you'll have like these other people that go, I don't really care about the Fate Go thing. What is this, and why do I care about it? Or, I've never been cared about mobile games. Stop talking about Fate Go. So it's like always this kind of struggle with everything that we talk about, that you kind of have to gauge interest and then kind of keep your conversations limited if you know that it kind of bothers a lot of people. So we never really care.
It's a delicate balance.
Yeah, on one hand, I want to say it's a delicate balance, and I don't want to annoy people about talking to that about things that I know that a lot of people probably don't play. But at the same time, we've always just done whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
If we have something we want to talk about with Fate Go, we're going to talk about it. Now, doing like full like talk discussions about like an entire like, you know, content that's coming out for it, I don't really see us doing that, just because that's, again, something that I don't really find myself wanting to do. There's a lot of people on YouTube that do that stuff, so you can easily find people on it. Granted, a lot of them are kind of more on the negative side, so I don't really.
Well, it is hard because we are in such demand that people just want our version of it.
We have so much time. We only have so much time to, you know. There's the people that want to talk about, you know, Netflix getting Clamp, and so we have to talk about Clamp a little bit. Gotta ration it. Plus, you'll probably find us talking more about Dengeki going forward, because Chris is like more involved with that and not so much Fate Grand Order. There's not much happening with Fate Grand Order right now, though.
And getting free tickets for White Roses. Somebody's giving me White Roses. I don't much care who's giving me the White Roses, but hey, they're giving me tickets.
Just waiting for the next event. I don't think Chris will be into the game until the bird comes out.
I probably won't really be into it when the bird comes out, too. That's what sucks. At least I'll have Tama. I mean,
you'll have plenty of tickets and course by the time she comes out. Don't worry. Dengeki, we had a Miku collab happening right now. I got my Hatsune Miku, so I'm happy about that.
I didn't get her yet.
Got to get my Luca so she has a pair. Check out Dengeki Crossing Void, Dalen. You might enjoy it. You'll probably be hearing us talk about it here soon. But no, I hope you did enjoy our Fate series talk. I think that was one of those ones where it felt like a throw together for something to talk about, but it was something I wanted to talk about, so I had plenty to talk about. But I hope people got an enjoyment of listening to that. I got a lot of people criticizing us, or not criticizing us, but correcting us on when Fate Ilya will come out again, so there's a lot of excitement about that one coming out. Cool stuff, though. That was one of the ones that we had the most feedback kind of coming back to us, and I did appreciate all the comments that people sent us, so cool stuff. Yeah. Not sure how to pronounce this, so I'm going to just kind of guess. Imadish? I'm going to go with that. Imadish says, hey guys, got a quick suggestion for you regarding yearly deliberations episodes. After settling on the final list of each genre, quickly compare it to last year's list. Many thanks from Iran. Keep up the good work. I always get surprised by the different people or different locations that chime into us. A lot of people from Japan, Iran, Australia. It's really fantastic to hear that people all across the world are listening to us. Kind of scary at the same time. But no, I don't know what I thought about when I heard the suggestion. I mean, I accept the suggestion. But no, I'm trying to... I guess we do technically discuss every now and then the idea that, you know, this year was probably better for romance. Like, I feel that 2018 had better romance than 2019. So I guess with certain categories like that, it would be kind of fun to do a comparison on it. But at the same time, our deliberation podcasts are already long as it is. I don't know. We might try it out. We'll see. We'll see.
It's not a bad idea. It really isn't. I mean, at worst, putting them up next to each other and say, hey, do we feel that this list is a little bit stronger than last year? I mean,
I think there's going to be some clear cut answers there. That's what I mean with like the romance. It's a clear cut answer. It's like, yes, technically for romance with like Todd Never Falls in Love. And what was the other one that was in 2018? It was a strong romance season. It was enough that when the Crunchyroll Anime Awards came around, I was like, why don't you have a romance? Because there wasn't a Yuri on Ice sequel this year. Why don't you have a romance genre? And then, yeah, they didn't. So cool stuff though. Thanks, Imadesh, for the suggestion. Let's see, Ida. Ida? You told me how it was supposed to be pronounced before.
I said that I call him Ira.
Ira, okay, there you go. Ida says, only got one question this time.
He hasn't messaged me and said, no, I don't like you calling me that, so...
Stop calling me Ira. Son of a gun. I just hate the avatar because it makes you want to watch the demon girl next door again. I miss that show. Only got one question this time. But what are some of your guys' favorite lines and quotes from an anime? Of course, feel free to list a lot. You don't have to pick a single best one or anything. I meant to go prepare for this one. Dang it. This is one where I have to look through an anime list to actually prepare for it. So I'm going to skip it and save it for next time and hopefully have better answers for you. Because I'm not really good at thinking of lines on the spot. So
The first one that comes to my head for some stupid reason is people die when they're killed.
But that's a fan translation. It's not really.
I know. It's just one of those things that pops up in my head because it's always on. No, that was the dub, wasn't it?
I think it was technically from the original visual novel fan translation for it or something like that. It was the one I looked into it. It was not from the original.
It's one of those stupid things that it's a joke that or a meme from a bygone age that has traveled through time. And it's
I actually
put it on my it's a screenshot. One of those goofy jokes. Where the iceberg on the sun, things are not always what they seem or something like that. And strength and all posters. That inspirational posters. And I found a goofy meme version of it on the internet and I kept it and it's on my screenshot for my desktop. I love it.
But no, like I said, I really do. I thought that would be a fun one to go through. And like I said, I just forgot to actually pre-go through and find some of my favorite quotes, but too difficult to think about the top of my head. So I'll save that one. I do know that one of the things I thought of immediately, and I'll just do this one just so you have one thing here before we actually do it for real
next time. It's a Super Sega bargain sale.
I would go with that one. No, but lines, quote unquote, is probably the whole scene from Supernatural Battles Became Commonplace. Her whole freaking flipping out on the guy scene was just fantastic. Her saying, I don't understand why you just do when you say your arm is burning or whatever, I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why do you think some demonic stuff is good? It doesn't make any sense to me. That was a really cool, all that lines was great. So yeah, we'll save that for next time. Hopefully I'll prepare for it. So apologies. let's see here. Prodigio said, have you guys considered recording video for YouTube? I think you guys would fit in well with the anime YouTubers, anime tubers, I think they're called, actually, not anime tubers. And make some nice pocket change too.
This is a thing that we have
tried.
We've kicked it back and forth.
We didn't do video like us recording ourselves, but I did do a whole thing where I was taking our podcast, putting visual to it, and putting on YouTube. Then it got struck down for
copyright,
even though they were all. It was for a preview. It was a preview for the season when Attack on Titan came out. So that's how far back it was. It was the first season of Attack on Titan was coming out, and we were doing a preview for it. I took the PVs, the trailers, and I overlaid our podcast with the trailers just to have something to look at so you can see what we're looking at. Got struck down by like pretty much every single company involved with it. And so it got took a flag down. Then I just started putting like a still image of our podcast logo on there and posting them up, but they didn't really get much viewership. As for actual video of us, it's just kind of one of those timely things. I want to do it eventually, but it is a time consumption kind of thing. Live podcasting, we can't really do it because our broadband sucks. But
yeah, I did. We did even go through and tried to do the play video game for a few hours and then copied it. And then that just made the podcast so huge. It was just insane. It was just eating our bandwidth up. And it's one of those things that we've tried. We want to. It's something on our to-do list.
It's a mixture of many things is really what it comes down to. We've tried to do it with actual footage from the shows, and then yay, YouTube's copyright system sucks, so you can't do that unless you are a super big AniTuber, and then you can throw whatever videos you want on there and they can't flag you down for some reason because you actually have a contact at YouTube. But for up and coming YouTubers, it doesn't really work out that well. I've always hated the YouTube's policy and systems on copyright. They absolutely do not recognize fair use. Then when it comes time to just, or when it comes down to us just doing, you know, still images or something with the podcast, I don't feel it's even doing a proper job to anybody just to put a video up that has no actual visual. It kind of feels like you're just wasting people's time. And then when it comes to just, you know, actual live podcasting with video or stuff like that, it's just really a time consumption thing mixed with. A lot of the time when we're recording, it's just trying to find an ease of time or a comfort to actually record it. So maybe eventually when we have the broadband and the – not broadband, the bandwidth and the flexibility in our schedule and where we can actually set up at, because right now where we're set up is not really a fantastic space to record video. I mean, we're really close to the monitor or the screen right now, and it would really not work out. We would actually have to have a positioning that would actually record both of us. So space, time, restraints. We want to, though, eventually. Ida responded, since they brought up AniTubers and also said record video, I think they're talking about making... I'm reading ahead. Pretty much just kind of confirm some of that. yeah, the job thing does kind of put a damper on it because it's just kind of a... I hate giving that excuse that, you know, the being tired, work sucks kind of thing because nobody wants to hear it. I think most people do have jobs and do have the same situation. They don't want to hear it when they listen to somebody that's supposed to be entertaining them. But it is technically a real thing. I do appreciate Brody Joe talking about the idea of, you know, wanting us to get to that point where we could just do podcasting and that's it. I mean, we've kind of, I think anybody who creates content like this has always kind of had that, you know, pie in the sky desire of like, yeah, I would love to be able to just quit my job and focus on strictly this. I mean, I've had several times when you get that point in your job where you're like, I don't really like this. I might want to change jobs or I might want to look at other options. There is that little glint back there of like, what if I just stash a little money, go home, quit my job, go home, and just hit it real hard?
The thought is because definitely there. It's not. I have been bashing my brains against the side of the wall, trying to figure out. I'm dead serious. I'm literally, when the dogs are barking at me, I am imagining my head hitting into. No, seriously.
One of these days, I'm gonna be a great YouTuber, and your dogs will find out.
No, but seriously, if you guys have, I would love any ideas. I want to compile them, figure out something. I want to find a way that we can serve you. I mean, and I know that sounds cheesy, but that's literally the only way that we can get to the next level if we ever decide to make this an actual thing. We literally have to have some kind of a service. Us talking to you, we've already promised this will never be behind a paywall. So this is a service that we give to you for free. This is not something that can be monetized. Whatever goes from that point has to be something that's monetized. Putting it on YouTube, it's technically putting it behind a paywall per se, because we are forcing you to watch an ad that YouTube is doing. Are they going to give us something? Yeah, I guess maybe they'll give us a penny or two for every person who watches it, but it's not going to take care of us. We still need to find how to get Otaku Spirit as a brand to become something else. Yes, I think about it all the time. I've got ideas, but all the ideas I have are like 10th level things. They're not going to do something at level 0.5 where we're at.
I think that's the struggle is I like, even though I hate my job kind of thing, I like stability.
Yeah.
And yeah, granted, any job can have like a sudden bankruptcy or some big fallout of something can happen to a company. You can get fired. But technically it's got that stability there. And every time I think of something where you can make money doing this, what we're doing right now, is it's either through YouTube or it's through like a Patreon or something like that. Some kind of other service that you can have people subscribe to make money. You have to either have ad revenue or you have to have, you know, sponsorships, or you have to have a crowdfunding. And the struggle with YouTube is it's not stable at all. At any point, three strikes, you're out. Your channel is deleted. Or they can say, you don't make us enough money, we're deleting your channel. They've already stated that here recently. Our YouTube channel probably will get deleted here soon because they don't see it as making money because none of it's monetized. They'll delete it because it's just wasting their bandwidth. And that's what I think their initiative that will lead them to do is cutting out that fat that's not making them money. But the struggle is if you do put your entire living onto let's make a YouTube channel and get it popular, it is not your company. You are at their beck and call. If something happens, they will not respond to you until you hit 500,000, a million plus actual subscribers. Until then, you're nothing to them. And that's the struggle, is getting to that point where you're that big. You are Gigguk. You are Mother's Basement, whatever. Until then, you are no name, and you're just praying that you're going to get enough hits on your video that you're going to get some kind of attention. The struggle that I have with the YouTube is I don't really see. Yeah, granted, yeah, if I were to give up everything, focus on it, I can see myself finding a topic to talk about every day to make a quick 10-minute video. It's got to hit 10 minutes, otherwise you don't get enough ads in there. Get enough hits, be able to actually create something on a daily basis, because you have to create content every day. You have to make a 10-minute video every day. And that 10-minute video, I don't criticize Gigguk or any of them, because they are creating these, probably spending, you know, 6+ hours every day creating a 10-minute video they're going to post up on there, get enough views to pay for the next day kind of thing. It's a very stressful, it is a job, no matter how you look at it. But it would be a job I would probably enjoy, because it's something that I'm passionate about. So I find that to be a lot more enticing than your regular 8-to-5 job, or 9-to-5, what do you want to call it. But at the same time, it's not stability. And that's the big fear. And you have to get to that point where you're making money fast enough that you don't become a burden on the people that are around you, kind of thing. Yeah. So it is for an adult. I mean, if I was young, I would have loved to have the YouTube age. I would hit it early while I'm still in school. I don't have to worry about work. Hit it early, get popular, and then be able to make it be a lifetime job. But it's just not until that point. Until, I don't know, Sean Kleckner, Roberts, somebody comes along and says, we want to pay you to make videos for our site, then sure, we'll do it. But until then, it's not really a stability. It's a stability thing for me. I like that stability. And I don't think AnyTubing is stability until you make it big. If you think about it, there's hundreds of thousands of people that are doing anime YouTubing. And you, how many do you know about? 3? 4, maybe?
Yeah, about 4 or 5.
There's only 3 or 4 that actually make money from it. Everybody else is just doing it as a passion project. And I hope they have other jobs. That's what it is. Man, I'm being very, very downer, aren't I? And yeah, like I said, the other options is crowdfunding or, I don't know, sponsorships. And sponsorships for anime is not going to happen. I mean, how many companies out there is looking to advertise to anime fans? Funimation, Crunchyroll, maybe. I don't think Funimation really does it anymore, but I know Crunchyroll every now and then does it. I don't think they're paying much.
No, I believe Crunchyroll is doing it.
You have to get VPN. You have to find VPN companies, apparently, anymore.
Yeah, we don't want to talk to you about VPNs. No, I do know that J-List, I'm assuming, is doing it.
But I doubt it's enough to pay the bills. That's the thing. It's like, there's only so many ads you're going to let you run.
I know Hulu's doing it, but Hulu, why would anime be, I guess there's some anime on Hulu, but I mean, really?
Well, a lot of Funimation stuff is on there. They have a partnership with them. And then, like I said, the other one's crowdfunding, which I think probably right now, crowdfunding is the way to go. Because especially if you're starting out, if you can find that one core group that's going to be able to keep your bills paid, the Taku Spirit community does it really well for us. They cover pretty much our bandwidth every year, and that's how much we make is pretty much covers bandwidth. And that's plenty for me. Not bandwidth, but the website and the bandwidth for the website. And that's plenty for me right now. I am very appreciative of that. Having that covered by the community is fantastic. But yeah, I mean, if there came time where I'm like, hey, let's do this full time, it would probably be a call to that. I would probably go, hey, guys, if you want this to happen, here's how it's going to happen. Your option's there. But if we decide to do that, it is a thing. Anyways, I hope that was a really long explanation for you, Prodigy Joe. But I really do appreciate the comment on it. The other comment said, thanks for the response. I think simply recording a video of their standard podcast with some kind of generic backdrop would bring a nice amount of views. I really enjoy the podcast here, and I hoped one day they don't have to have normie jobs that take time away from their great anime content. The only time spent away should be for R&R. And I think that's the other thing, because like technically what we're doing here is our hobby. This is something that we do find enjoyment out of. But I will admit there's some times where when you have a really hard day, the last thing you want to do is record a podcast. That's why, thankfully, I don't know how this works for Chris, but thankfully we record on a Saturday and I don't work on Saturday. I would probably never want to record a podcast coming home during the week.
Yeah.
So I hope it works for you coming home on a Saturday from your work. I guess you just tough it out.
Sometime.
So that's why Chris is always quiet, is because he comes home from work on Saturday, whereas I don't. I actually have some time to kind of relax for a little bit.
Sometimes there's that, you know, that oomph, and you do try to drag it out of me sometimes, and as long as I can get out of that oomph sometimes, it's usually fine. But it's a matter of getting out of that.
It is so funny, is like, technically that's one of those aspects that you learn to do after a while of podcasting, because technically we've been doing it for 6 or so years.
Yeah, it's forever.
But I mean, you probably acknowledge that. Like when we first started, my thing was that I'm in like a lot of pain. But the moment, and I'm kind of like a little shruggy, mm-hmm. I click on the record button, and I get into it. It's just like, it's like a switch. Well, and then when I finish, I'll turn it off and go back to going, ugh.
There's also the aspect of, I've listened to people talk about the exaggerated parts of themselves when they talk about their personas. And it's funny because we have done personas per se here and there, but it's not really something we try to be as honest and true as we are. I mean, you're literally listening to two brothers. This is how we are when we're normal people. So when you're listening to us, you're literally listening to us as brothers. This is how we are outside in the back when we're talking to each other during the day. When we're sitting here watching our shows, we're goofy like this. This is who we are. Usually when we do our, if you want to call it personas, is usually when we're goofing off, and literally the same jokes that you hear us do while we're on the podcast is the same jokes. That's our personas per se, is our jokes, if you want to call it that. I've never actually done the exaggerated,
like talking about how Ica. And it was
maybe my lolicon thing, but that's
the mushroom thing with Arya.
Yeah, making fun
or the two episode boat death scene, in Arya.
And that's the thing is when I hear about people talking about their personas, it's like, yeah, I guess that could be entertaining. Well,
that's the funny thing, because I mean, back in the day, I used to watch a lot of Greg Miller. I used to follow him. You know, back in the Colin Moriarty days, him and Colin Moriarty, I just loved them as a pair back in the day. Listen to them talk about video games. And I always had this desire. I'm like, I want to do that in my podcast. I want to be the Greg Miller. I want to be like super energetic. And then after a while, I'm like, holy crap, he actually annoys me now. And I'm like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do that. It's like, but every time I think of doing that kind of, all right, guys, let's talk about anime. What's up, guys? Let's start getting crazy and energetic. And then when I think about it, I'm going, yeah, but that's not me. So I'll probably at some point, you know, subconsciously probably break out of it and then realize that I'm not being as energetic as I should be. But I do kind of want to project some kind of energy into the podcast, keep the conversation going, just because I don't want it to be a big silent, quiet, nobody's talking, long pause.
You mean like this?
Kind of thing. Yes. I do like to be more natural, because I don't like to be fake.
We really quit the idea of doing multiple takes. I mean, how many times did we do that? Was it twice?
No, we just got to the point where we didn't have to anymore.
Well, that too, but we ended up doing one. And we lost the entire podcast or something like that. And so we retook it.
Oh, you mean that? Yeah.
And it was brutal. We tried so hard. And it was like,
reviews are the worst. No. Reviews are the worst because you think you've already talked about something, because you technically did talk about something an hour ago or whatever. So you technically can't retread those conversations anymore.
Yeah.
Like a fluid conversation.
We're sitting here trying to prod the same joke a second time, and it's not working at all.
Like this? Yeah. No, it does not work that way.
Oh, we've learned so much over the years. It really has. It's been a crazy ride, really.
But no, I guess to give something, and I don't want to promise anything, is that, yes, in my list of things that I want to do to kind of progress the podcast, because we technically have come to a stop, and part of that stop was due to very trying times for us and our family over last year, and technically those restraints for what we were able to do is technically no longer with us, unfortunately. And so, yeah, my mind's already starting to continue back of, okay, well, as soon as I can finally get myself no longer working until 7 o'clock every day and completely burnt out, I want to start contacting these people that have contacted us over the last year saying, hey, can we come onto your podcast? We have a Japanese tourist company that wanted to talk to us. We had a boxer that wanted to talk to us that liked anime. I do want to get back into contact with like Sean Kleckner and get him on here. There's a lot of people. Get Roberts on this damn podcast. That'd be great.
Peter Payne did tried to contact us. He dumped me. I guess he gave up on me.
He's like, yeah, you guys don't want to talk to me. I screw you. There's a lot of things. I do want to do a lot of interviews. I want to start bring Logan on here again. Logan Rogers hasn't been on here in a long time. Bring, you know, members of the Anime Arcade podcast on here. Get him on again. Start reading people from the community back on here. But the other thing on top of that list is, yes, I would eventually want to get a better setup so that, or a place to put things and situate it. So yeah, that tech, probably not live broadcast off the bat, but I still at least want to do a recorded video podcast. That'd be great. Get lighting and stuff that doesn't melt my face off. The only lighting I have right now raises the room temperature by 50 degrees in probably 10 minutes.
And we're going into the warmer months here soon, so.
But we have this wonderful creation by man called Central Air. And we can turn that knob down. Anyways. So, yeah. That's a really long explanation there. But you know what that means?
What's that?
Besides poor Eddie's question that we poor have Eddie? Not answered yet.
It's Ira.
Ira's answer. You like Eddie better, don't you?
I think he's going to text me and say he hates that. If he even listens to us next door.
Cute girl from Demon Girl Next Door, we will answer your question eventually. Once I actually prepare properly for it. With wonderful quotes as...
Why is he a cute Demon Girl Next Door?
Because that's the avatar.
It's a he.
It's the avatar.
That's his avatar. That is not him.
So? You want to be a cute Demon Girl Next Door character.
He'll probably text me no.
What is the response got to be through text to you? Anyways, besides needing to answer that, we have
no other questions. Okay, he will Discord you. No.
No other questions on this podcast.
We're out of questions.
This is done.
This is messed up.
We're out.
How did you guys let that happen?
Completely
We out. Even warned you last time, didn't we?
Yes.
We warned him.
Yes.
We're done. We beat you.
So, again,
we
like I said...
We defeated the question thread.
We technically have... a preview next week. And so this is like a super duper call because we might have a discussional in 2 weeks. And I don't want to be embarrassed, honestly. There's a lot of other podcasters out there that probably will listen to us and go, they're out of questions.
We have questions for 5 years. We never.
Yeah,
because you don't answer any of your questions for five years.
Hey, now. Don't be throwing shade. They're allowed to throw shade at us for not having questions.
Do we have any...
We don't want to be throwing shade back.
Do we have any reviews?
You're going to bring up the reviews?
Well, I don't know if we've checked our reviews in a while.
Number one podcast for us right now is the 100 Favorite Anime of the Last Decade. Dang, people love that one, apparently. And next is Buried in Laughing Coffins. I figured the... When Interspecies Cries would be up there for a while, but apparently that one didn't get enough gaffes as I thought it would get. Oh, well. I thought it was a funny podcast title. I think long and hard on my podcast titles, okay? I think we did Karma 592, didn't we? Karma 952 says it serves my otaku needs. Zaybay 579 says I listen to a lot of anime podcasts. A lot of them out there, a lot of them are just too good for isekais. The cast on this show watch a lot of anime and give us a full unbiased reviews podcast for anime lovers. Thank you. Somebody that recognizes our appreciation for isekai as much as Disney does, because apparently all Disney shows are isekais now. I'm noticing that. Dog TV is interesting. A dude foe says the best podcast on anime by fans for fans 5-star says, I have listened to many anime podcasts and dropped them, but this one is the best, and I enjoy each episode and keep coming back. The host comment, review, research, and focus on anime and all its aspects. From the business side, news, and latest shows, even if they may not agree on an anime, they never talk down to listeners or fans for liking something they didn't enjoy. The anime opening podcasts are enjoyable beyond belief, and I wish they keep the podcast going on strong. A-plus stuff, Otaku Spirit. Thank you. That's like everything that we strive for in one review. Are you reading along with me, or are you just
trying to find a bug? How far down?
I don't remember.
It's been a long time.
I thought we did Sword Art Fanboy.
Did we? Okay. If you remember that, then I don't.
I can never find a good podcast about Sword Art Online. This has a little at the beginning, so that was nice. 4-star. We talk about Sword Art Online too damn much. What are you talking about? Everybody hates our discussion about ex-girlfriend. Maybe what you're missing is that whenever we talk about the ex-girlfriend, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, hey, maybe you missed the joke. You missed the joke.
We just kind of replaced the word Sword Art Online with that. And we literally talked about Sword Art Online this episode too. So too much, basically. Menhi says, I got into anime after so much wondering. I love how detailed it is, how the opinions are about different shows, news topics, and discussions. 5-star. It's been a great intro. Oh, intro to anime. Okay. Sorry. I should have read the title first. I'm sorry.
Chapnorosaurus?
Right on.
The best name ever is our last one. Andrew and Chris are two cool dudes. 5-star by Chuck Norrisaurus Rex. That is a really long review.
Because it was done by Chuck Norrisaurus.
Chuck Norrisaurus Rex. Get it right.
That's the greatest name ever.
See, if Chuck Norris was a Saurus Rex, we would never have Jurassic Park because the mosquitoes would never bite him out of respect. Oh, that's the Dos Equis guy, isn't it? Is Chuck Norris Saurus Rex's beard have a fist underneath it?
Nobody bothered to check.
Push the earth away rather than push up when he pushes up.
If you look under the Chuck Norris,
or is his arm too short?
I
Chuck Norrisaurus Rex's arm actually is long.
I'm not worthy of any of these jokes.
I started watching anime a few years ago around the same time I started listening to podcasts. So naturally, I was always on the hunt for good anime podcasts. I found this podcast about a year ago, and it is the only anime podcast I really love. Andrew and Chris and Andrew.
There you go. Good job.
I almost instinctively read it as... But he does
Andrew and Chris up at the top.
Andrew and Kiss, yes. Andrew and Kiss. Chris and Andrew are both really cool guys, and I like to hear their opinions on the latest anime.
I think he's just doing it to mess with us, because he keeps going back and forth.
You wrote this, didn't you? I like to hear their opinions on the latest anime news and what shows they like. I'm not going to go super in-depth with this. It's a really long review. I've noticed usually with anime podcasts, a lot of the reviewers are really specific about how the hosts have the correct opinion on something. Not saying they're all that way, but I just like to hear what Andrew and Chris have to say. I don't always agree with them on stuff like Banana Fish.
Sorry.
Really awesome music, by the way. But that's a good thing. Andrew and Chris seem like they put a lot of effort into keeping up with the new shows while also watching older shows, and you can really tell. They both know a lot about not only the shows, but the anime industry as well. They have a forum, and I think I'm going to start being active on it. I hope you have a title, Chuck Norrisaurus Rex.
You totally need to.
I got to look up on there.
See. Let us know. We'll fix the title or something. I will make you the Chuck Norrisaurus.
And I want a blushing dinosaur face as your avatar. Like a Moe dinosaur. Or a dinosaur with a beard. with a fist in it. They have a forum, and I was I have never been active on a forum before, but the people there seem really nice, and I see Andrew and Chris interacting with a lot of users. I wish I did more. I kind of messed up the first time I was on because I assumed somebody was being a jerk when they weren't and started an argument about Shin Megami Tensei or something stupid, but that was my fault. It was my fault. Anyways, I'm rambling, but if you are in any way interested in anime, I would highly recommend this podcast. I really enjoy and hope you will too. That was an extremely well thought out and long, awesome review. Thank you, Chuck Norris, Source Rex. I love your title. And that's it there, too.
Don't worry. The guys on the forums, if anybody actually does become jerks, which nobody really does, if anything, they'll bicker for a little while and then everybody moves on and just lives with each other. But if they do, the pain. That's all it has to be said.
Okay.
The pain.
Random threat. Just random threat. No, I think I've mentioned this before when I was... I think we were talking about something with probably reviews or something like that, or I think probably something to do with the creation of the community and stuff like that. But one thing I learned really quickly when I was doing, you know, just back in the day when I used to just do written reviews and stuff for websites and had a lot of feedback that was, you know, the whole concept is you immediately assume troll. And I found out really quickly when we started really getting into our own website and our own community and our own comments on, like, we used to have comments on the main page when I used to do like written reviews on the main page, and we used to have our podcast had written reviews or comments on our main Otaku Spirit page before I disabled them because I didn't really want to keep track of two things. But I at some point really learned to not always assume the worst, always assume the best. If somebody says something really negative, reply and say, thanks, man, appreciate it, we'll do better next time. And what you find out 99% of the time, they'll come back and say, sorry, I was being a jerk. Keep at it, man. It's funny because, yeah, trolls will be trolls. If somebody wants to be a troll, they're going to just dig in their heels and keep at it. But most people aren't. And the moment you assume the best comes back to you. And I always suggest that. If you ever feel like you've upset somebody, if you ever feel like you're bashing heads with somebody, your opinions are clashing, assume the best, reply positively, and you'll get the best. So, just a doom, 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 where you know. Public service announcement.
Mm-hmm.
By Otaku Spirit. Just my suggestion for the world of, because everybody assumes the worst, and I think that's why social media sucks. But good people out there mixed in with all the bad, so just assume the best. That's my...
Most everybody, like I said, most everybody is trying to be good people. And I know that, I mean, we've had users who've, they're trying, they really are. It's just really hard to comment in a way that makes sense all the time. I know personally, I have a really hard time when I'm typing stuff. My stuff, when I type stuff, always comes out wrong. And I just let everybody know straight up and forward, I'm not meaning it. In whatever way you're taking it, it does not matter. It will always sound wrong when I say it. So just assume I'm meaning something good when I say something.
Well, that's the other thing, is that text doesn't convey emotion. I mean, yeah, you could type all caps and people are going to go, man, he's yelling at me because he's got caps. His letters are all capitalized. It has to mean that he hates me. Or you could just be one of those people that likes to leave their caps on because they hate holding shift whenever they need to put a capitalize. But again, don't assume the worst and you'll get the best kind of back from you. So, but yeah, it is, I guess, the only downfall to forums is just that it's hard to really kind of convey what you're really saying. And you often have to put in the words that you aren't meaning bad things. But
imagine this. Okay. If you all think that reading my type is bad, imagine my actual handwriting, which is a million times worse.
Again, just odd just flex.
Saying.
Again,
just saying.
We had two really odd flexes this episode.
Flex.
just like, itch. My writing sucks. Yeah. I'm older than him, and my handwriting sucks. Just you wait. I'll scan and send a picture in soon.
You done lost it. My brother's gone.
Anyways, that's a good sign that we should probably sign off whenever we're getting too stupid. But that is pretty much all we have here. Like, again, because
some people ain't making questions. Andrew wants to
flex, apparently.
Yeah, I need to go flex my Hatsune Miku S rank that I have on Dengeki Crossing Voido.
You suck. You have an S Miku? I thought you said you got an S something else. We need to stop before Shauna. We start talking about that.
I think it was Shauna. Or was it Taiga? No, I didn't get
Taiga. I got an S Taiga.
I have an A Taiga.
I got an S Taiga.
I got something you don't.
Yeah, yeah. Like, wait, do I? Yeah, I do. I had to think about it for a second. I'll just shuffle her talents a couple more times and I'll get it.
I hate you.
I'm not really lucky with that. We need more questions in the podcast or the anime question threads on otakuspear.com. The forum's at the top, link there. Social media's on the right side there. Contact us button at the top there. We thank y'all for listening here. And y'all take care there. There. Nothing but ear that poured. Oh, me, Meditate.